Okay, so, what are your, what are your opinions on interfaith marriages?
Well, until I fell in love with someone from another religion, I wasn't in favor of interfaith marriages.
Why was that?
Well, I believe strongly in Judaism, and to perpetuate the Jewish religion, I thought it was best to marry someone who was Jewish and raise a Jewish family. But I fell in love with someone who was Catholic, and that caused us to discuss having an interfaith family.
Like, growing up, I know you said that you only thought about marrying, a Jewish person and having a Jewish family, but, growing up, did you ever actually think about it, that strongly, or was it just always, I'm going to marry a Jewish person, no matter what?
Well, first of all, I didn't know if I was going to get married. But if I did, I was leaning towards a Jewish person. I dated primarily Jewish men.
Okay. What made you change your mind?
I fell in love with someone who wasn't Jewish.
Alright, so was it hard for you to tell your parents about this? Or not really?
Well, when I introduced Lou to my parents, we hadn't thought about marriage yet. We were just dating, but seriously dating. And I thought it might be a bit of a problem, but on the other hand, he was such an incredibly nice and well-liked and respected person that I thought that he would win them over with his charm and personality, which he did.
How hard, or how much did you have to persuade him that you wanted a Jewish family? Or was he for it right away?
We had some discussions about it, but Lou did not go to church on a regular basis at that time. And I celebrated the holidays and went to synagogue with my family. And Lou joined us. So he got to see what it was like to be in synagogue and what some of the Jewish rituals were. And they were very family oriented, and he liked that. So he actually was fine about that because he believed that there was really just one God.
How supportive of the holidays was he?
Well, he ate matzah, but he didn't eat gefilte fish.
Like me.
Yeah.
Like father, like son.
He didn't keep Passover. He didn't observe the holidays. He didn't fast on Yom Kippur. But he.
That's because he didn't have to.
That's right, because he wasn't Jewish.
Yeah.
But he did.
I mean, was he good about, going to, was he good about, eating what you had to eat, and then him eating whatever he wanted, at the time of the holidays?
During Passover?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fine. He respected what I needed to do. We were very respectful of each other. I still wanted him to celebrate his holidays as he saw fit.
Okay, so what made you... So what made you celebrate the holidays with his family?
Because they were important holidays to his family, and just as he celebrated holidays with my family, I wanted to celebrate those with his.
So when you first met his side of the family, like, what were your initial reactions to it?
Oh, well, I was looking forward to meeting his family. He spoke so highly of them, and he really loved and respected his mother, and I enjoyed meeting her, and I love her today.
Like, is that one of the reasons why we still go over to her house? I mean, clearly we don't go over, like, every night as I would do with Daddy. But is that the reason why we still go over?
She's family. Sure.
But we don't always like family.
That's true, but... We do love Grandma Mann, and she loves you, and she enjoys you.
And I like her food.
She makes good food. So that's one of the things we do. We also eat with Grandma Manny. We're lucky that our family lives close by, that we can see them.
Okay. So did Daddy break the glass at your wedding?
He did.
What made you guys decide to do that? Like, have a Jewish ceremony type thingy?
Well, we had decided that we were going to have a Jewish home and raise a Jewish family. So it made sense if we had kids, which we were hoping we would. So it made sense for us to have a Jewish ceremony. And I didn't feel comfortable having a Catholic Mass, since I was certainly Jewish. We weren't married in a synagogue. We were married at a hotel, but we had a rabbi officiate. And the only thing the rabbi said to your father was, make sure I move my hand completely before you step on the glass. That's the only instructions he gave him.
Did you want to have, a Jewish name for, the kid? Like, a traditional Jewish name? Or, a non-traditional Jewish name?
Well, we talked about that, because in... The Ashkenazi Jewish tradition, which we are, you name someone for someone who has passed away. And since, fortunately, my parents were both living at the time, I went back one generation. And I was named for my mother's mother, but no one had been named for her father. So that was Aaron. So we gave you the Hebrew name Aharon in his memory. And I asked your father if he wanted you to be named Anthony in memory of his father. But he wasn't really embracing that. We kind of decided that we wouldn't go with Anthony or Aaron, that we would pick something that would be exclusively yours, and that what a name that wasn't overtly Jewish or overtly Catholic or Italian. So Alexander is a very classic traditional name, And we like that.
Were like the Jewish milestones like a big discussion for you and Daddy?
They were big because milestones are important in anyone's life. And the first one we shared together was our wedding. The next was we were lucky enough to have you. And the Jewish tradition is to have a ceremony called a bris. It's a circumcision that's usually done in the hospital, but Jewish people do it at usually their home with a man called the moil, who performs the ceremony and does the procedure. And we had yours at our house, and we invited both Jewish and Catholic relatives, and most of the Catholic people, it was their very first time observing the ceremony, and they thought it was very interesting. They felt bad for you when you cried, but the gentleman who led the ceremony was a cantor, and he sung beautifully, and he explained everything carefully, and everyone felt that they understood the meaning of the ceremony. Then the next big milestone in your life was going to be your bar mitzvah. And unfortunately, at that time, your father was critically ill. And he asked the doctors just to keep him alive for one more year because he wanted to live for your bar mitzvah. It was that important to him. But that wasn't going to happen. So the rabbi and I came up with the idea of having a pre-bar mitzvah at home and invite a very small group of relatives. And so you and the rabbi recited prayers and read part of your bar mitzvah ceremony. He didn't do all the blessings because it wasn't really your bar mitzvah, but it was enough Hebrew and English to give your father an idea of what the ceremony would be like, and he really appreciated that.
Okay, so like the last question I ask you is, would you like to see more like interfaith families? Like, do you think they work out, and like, do you think they're important?
Well, I think the most important thing is that two people respect each other, and that they try to agree in advance if they're going to have a family, what religion they're going to raise the children. I believe that it's important for someone to have a religious belief. And in any interfaith couple, you know, whatever the combination is, it's good for the couple to make that decision at the beginning so they can raise the child from birth in the religion they've chosen. I think it's very difficult for a family to say, oh, we'll expose the child to both religions and let the child pick when they're old enough. Some people think that's the right way to do it, but I think it sets a better example and a better tone to decide on one and have that be your family's main religion.